We thought it would be a good week, but we didn't think it would be this good. A massive week for Luke Fickell and for Greg Gard. I'm Rajiv, he's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers, ring one up.
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Welcome to the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Sunday evening to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers. On today's show, official weekend number two comes to a close, and we add three big names: Yazeen Zion, Darren Graham from weekend one, and Steele Harris, a wide receiver. We're going to talk about all three of those. We said it was going to be a good week. We did not think it was going to be quite this good. Greg Gard also cashed in and hit Jaylen Brown, an in-state combo guard that has a super high ceiling. We're going to talk about him as well. And to have a little bit of fun with this 27 class right now, we're going to do some superlatives, very early on superlatives with this class, just a few of them to have a little fun with it. You can find our show on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. If you like what we're doing, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. That stuff is super, super helpful to the show. We're trying to hit 3,000 subs by the time football season starts. If you are one of the 50-some-odd percent of you that listen to the show without subscribing, hit that subscribe button. It's really, really helpful to the show. And also so you know when we make new content. I am traveling. My niece graduated from high school. Shout out to my niece, Neela, who graduated from Carroll High School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So I'm here in my sister's house. So the audio might not be perfect. The video might not be perfect. I'm not in my normal studio at home. But alas, I couldn't miss it, Justin, because it wasn't just a normal, I was going to just leave it to you. And then I thought, no. We landed my guy, Yazeen Zion. I have to come on and talk about him. You got to be feeling pretty good about this weekend, man. Yeah,
I was going to say, this is Rajiv's Christmas, not mine. Like, this is yours. He was your dude for the cycle. Mine's still hanging out there. So we'll see if we what happens with Mr. Fan and Steel coming up here shortly. Hopefully this week they can find a way to head him off before he goes back to Texas Tech. But I was going to say the most important thing: we passed Minnesota in the rankings with six less commits, and that's a joyous situation.
Yeah, everybody, all Minnesota fans thought that, oh, we had a great recruiting class. Calm the F down, okay?
They're like, we take 47 players. Look, we're in the top 15. It's like, yeah, it's because most of the other teams that are in the top 15 have like 15 commits. So, cool. But yeah, Wisconsin passed them. I think we've got a really nice combination of some guys who have a chance to go up. And I think that we have some people hanging out there still that probably are in play, that there's an opportunity for us to potentially lock down. I really like this. I like the guys that we grabbed. I like the place that we're in for some of the other guys. We'll see what happens with them. But this recruiting class has an opportunity to be very, very good.
Yeah, let me go through the particulars on the three guys that we got. Two of them we watched film on last week, so we're not going to do that. We're not going to show you Steele Harris' film or Yazeen Zion because we already did that last week. But we are going to show you Darren Graham's film today because we might have popped that up a few weeks ago, but we're going to do that fresh because he's one of the new recruits. So I'm going to give you all the particulars, then we're going to get into some of those details on those guys. So Steele Harris, 6'3", 205-pound wide receiver out of Great Falls, Montana, the number one player in the state of Montana. Darren Graham, a 6'5", 218-pound edge rusher from Chicago, Illinois. And Yazeen Zion, a 6'5", 270-pound defensive lineman from Desert Edge High School in Goodyear, Arizona. Another Arizona player. This has been, by the way, nice pipeline opening up in Arizona, by the way. This is good. This is really, really good. And the entire Southwest, because remember, Mason Posa came from New Mexico, right? So we can't underestimate that, undersell that too. It's a really nice pickup. Let's just start at the top, of course, with Yazeen Zion. Like, there's, look, and again, we've already talked about what we like about him, but give me a little bit about how important do you think this get is for this class, Justin?
I know when I was on Ryan's show, he was saying that some of the people he reached out to were saying he's a top five guy in the West. I think that says everything you need to know about it. I think his offer list is disgusting when you look at it. It's like Georgia. It's like a who's who of like the top programs in college football. LSU legitimately wanted him. Oklahoma legitimately wanted him and badly wanted to get him and get an opportunity with him. He's a guy that we are right now, we're at the rodeo with him, because you are going to hold on for dear life and hope you make it to signing day. Because he, to me, is a guy who his ceiling is, if things all click together with him, you're talking about a guy who I think potentially could end up being like a first or second round pick. Like, I think he's that type of a dynamic defensive lineman. I think he legitimately is a guy who will get to 280, maybe even 290, and carry it well and move well. And he is very raw. And that was not one of the things that you and I picked up on when we watched his film. This guy's played 1 year of high school football. That's insane for how good he looked from a technique standpoint. There's a lot of things he'll clean up on. There's a lot of things he'll get better than. His instincts are going to get sharper the more he gets used to it. His instincts were actually one of the things I thought he was really good at. He really tracks the ball well behind the line of scrimmage. So I think that the sky's the limit for him. Like, he in my opinion, since probably some of Barry's guys, is probably the best defensive line target we've had. I can't think of anybody I'd put ahead of him.
Yeah. Before we bring in our special guest, I do want to go through that offer list with you. So Oklahoma, LSU, Arizona State, not surprising there, Auburn, Florida, Georgia Tech, Miami, Missouri, Oregon, Penn State, Texas, Texas A&M, USC, UCLA. The list goes on and on, man. Like, unbelievable offer list for Yazeen Zion. He is truly a remarkable get, and the versatility, the size he has, like, he is just, you can see this guy as, yeah, he's going to play on Sundays. And shockingly, he is a three-star, which I think will change. But what a massive get. What a massive get.
Yeah, I'll be shocked if he stays at that. He should be like a 91, 92 at least, in my opinion. I feel really good about saying that with him, because athletically, he's a stud. Like, Ryan and I were going back and forth pondering if between him and Fannin Steele, who do you think has the higher upside and who do you think has the better value? And I said, Zion's got the better value because it's a position that's really hard to recruit. And we were both talking, like, we thought that maybe Fannin Steele had more, like, statistically, maybe a guy who stands out a little bit more. And we say that from the standpoint of, he could end up being a guy that ends up being a 9-sack, 10-sack guy. I don't think you're going to see that necessarily from Zion, but I wouldn't be shocked to see him be a guy that gets moved to the interior and is like a 5 or 6 sack guy, which is a really impressive season for a guy on the interior defensive line.
Yeah, look, I know you like Fannin Steele, and rightfully so, and I do as well. But to me, Zion is the answer to both of those questions.
Okay, that's totally fair. I think you can't be wrong on that one.
His upside is fantastic. The value, because he absolutely can play across the entire defensive line and get pass rush, and he's big enough to stop the run. Like, there isn't really a role on the defensive line that Zion doesn't fill. And I think that's the key thing. Before we go any further, let's bring in our good buddy.
The Bucky Report proudly welcomes Nick Oson from 247 Sports.
He is the one, the only, Nick Oson, Badger beat writer for 247 Sports. Fantastic work. If you are not a member of Badger247.com, trust me, it's worth it. It's worth it. If all you want to do is read Nick Oson's articles, which is what I like to do, and Payne and everybody else who works there, it's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. Big, big week, Nick. Big week. We did not think it was going to be this good. What a fantastic week for Luke Fickell, my friend.
Guys, thank you so much. Truly, this has become this tradition as fun as kind of covering the OVs and all the good news, but you're exactly right. I know that I'm jumping in and kind of part of you guys' great Zion discussion. And I'd love to just add a little bit to that. Like, you guys were talking about that offer list. Look, I'll say first and foremost, love our team at 247. That rating needs a bump, right? We will say that without question, even though I'm proudly repping here, but still we can say that. And the slight bit of, you know, credence or silver lining, I will say, is even his awesome coach, Henry MacArthur, will say on record, you know, he's only played a year of real football. So they'll get more film out there.
It doesn't show.
I like what you said, Justin. I like him at least a 91. So I agree there. And I will just say, this is one I said in the preview, which I appreciate, Rajiv, but also that last show just with Justin, as we looked ahead a bit, and you guys talked about kind of your white whale, the guys you really want to see. I said, this is a sneaky contender here, truthfully, because it was one when I first really dug in, like late spring even, because it wasn't a name we were hearing as much, Zach Anino, David Hill, all that. Wisconsin checked off a lot of boxes, and obviously they were able to get it done. You make sure he doesn't hit up some of those other big schools, SEC. I do not expect him to go visit those. So quite the win amongst many that we have to discuss.
Yeah, I think the other part of that is you look at it and you say, there's all the people that are questioning whether the money's truly there. And it's like, you don't get a guy like this if the money's not truly there. Like, he can pick from the, like, whatever criteria he wants with the offers that he's got. It's all, he's getting the total package, whatever school he would have chose. It's going to be, and the one thing I, you could say from a luxury from Wisconsin is he really liked the coaching staff clearly and really enjoyed his experience here, because he had schools that are more competitive on the football field right now that he easily could have gone to and had an opportunity at. So you look at it and it's like, this is an incredible job by the staff to lock this one down, because I think we'd all agree if he had taken a trip somewhere else, I think we'd feel uncomfortable with that.
Yeah,
given some of the teams that are involved, because it's elite recruiting staffs across the board for him.
Like you said, good programs too. I mean, especially with the buzz around LSU, like that's one spot. I can tell you Oklahoma was pushing like crazy, and you can obviously, you say whatever, Justin, I'm not pushing back. Obviously, you know, I've said they're going to be competitive NIL high school wise, but
no, it's not me, it's other people.
No. I was just going to say though, brother, I think people finally started to believe that in January with the portal haul. I hope that opened some folks' eyes.
Yeah. It's very clear that the money's there, because we wouldn't be talking about Colton Joseph without that money. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't be talking about half of these recruits without that money. So yeah, it's very, very clear. And honestly, you guys mentioned 91. Zion is so raw that, look, I'm not even putting a ceiling on what his rating can really get up to in the senior season. I really feel like this is going to be one of those guys that, as once he gets senior film out there, you're going to see a lot of SEC schools just be like, hey, why don't we try to flip this guy and get him down south, because he could be a legit high four-star. I'm serious. Like, there, and again, I encourage everyone to go to huddle.com and watch the film. We showed it twice now, so I'm not going to pull it up again. But I mean, the film is fantastic for this guy. And Nick, one of the questions I had before you jumped on is, what does this mean for Luke Fickell? I mean, this continued success that he's having, and the guys that every time, you know, as fans, we watch Wheat's film, we look at the list of the OVs, we're like, man, that's the guy. Then the guy shows up and he hits, right? That's a really big deal. What does this kind of a pickup mean for Luke Fickell?
I love that question, Rajiv. You know, it's honestly not one that I maybe think about as often or write about. I will start on kind of a vague point and break it down. Look, I think that this pickups like this, I think it means something that I've been saying. Many of us in kind of the know, or, you know, working on shows and so on, have said for a few months, I think the program has turned said corner. That is what I think. But to me, that obvious last checkbox is, of course, what we need to see in the fall. So I'm not, you know, saying that doesn't have to happen. That is obvious. That is what people most care about. But guys, everything else, the boxes are being checked this offseason. Big names in the portal, under the radar evals, one of the best recruiting classes in the country. Like I was texting with my man Justin earlier. It's like, okay, this isn't just a March or April story now. We're in the heat of official visit season, and they're sniffing a top 10 class. Yeah. Obviously, I'm always comfortable saying that they're not quite done. You know, I'll never ruin things for kids, but, like, there's still more good news on the way. So, Rajiv, I think it's showing, you know, we talked about, like, there's more money in there. That's fair. That's accurate. But the relationships are there. The culture, like, it was so cool today, guys. I stood there, myself and these four O-line commits. We all did an interview together, like, they are sincere about this culture being back, trying to bring in the best talent. So, Rajiv, I think what I would say without getting too far ahead of myself is you're starting to see, I think, what many of us thought would be possible in this era or with this hire. Now it all just needs to come together when? Obviously in the fall.
For me, what it means is when I look forward, it means that Luke Fickell has zero margin for error on the field in 2026, meaning that you cannot go out there and field a 5-win team. You can't, because if you do, these guys are gone. They're just going to be gone. Like, he sold the vision. He sold the future. And as many people have said in the chat, needs to be delivered on the field now, which is a very fair thing. And he has done an exceptional job at recruiting. But the Badgers have to win. And I'm not talking about winning 10 games. I'm talking about winning 7. You have a winning season. You're bowl eligible. Okay, you're cool. We've taken a big step in the right direction. Now we bring more of this class, these guys in, more of the 25 class maturing. And then you bring in the 27 guys and you see what happens. I mean, you look at what's happened with Poston and Catalano, and incredible recruits. I love this comment here from My Lord Lester. I hope Zion turns out to be like your last dude, Poston. That's right. Poston was my dude. And Zion is definitely my dude in this class. And I really do think that the ceiling is just so high for him. But I think it does, like, with all these wins. And as you said, we're 13th in the country right now in class. We're sniffing that top 10. Like, it means that he can't have another 5-win season, guys. Justin, like, he has to show it now. Because every time there's a big win, it's almost more pressure on the success of the program. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, well, I think when I look at this from the standpoint of, like, where are the markers that this has turned, and I think one of the biggest ones that I think people tend to gloss over a little bit is you have on-field leaders that are, like, truly guys that people, like, will believe in guys like Posa and Cooper, where it's like these dudes are just racking up sick numbers out there and they're young. And the intensity from a guy like Posa is something that translates over to the other guys. Reiger probably would have been one of those guys had he been here longer. But those are the type of guys that people fall in line and that can take that leadership role that you really needed. Wisconsin really hasn't had that over the last several years. You look at it, there haven't been those guys that you look at on the defensive side of the ball or even on the offensive side where you're like, yeah, this guy's the outspoken voice, but he's also the biggest dude on the field and that everyone kind of believes him when he says something. And that's been a problem. Regardless of what coaches do, it ultimately is going to come down to the players on the field and believing in each other because they don't play, the coaches aren't on the field. But I do think those guys last year when things started moving there, I think one of the big things we're looking here too, to go into the recruiting aspect of it, we were kind of unsettled last year with the visiting and stuff. When Max left and went to USC, it feels like the recruiting department just got kind of out of sorts a little bit. And it kind of carried over throughout that cycle. And it feels like I think they've recovered and it feels like they're in a really good spot again, where it's like this cycle has hands down been much smoother than what.
Yeah. If I can just, you know, jump in, Justin, I'm not saying that Max wasn't a loss by any means. I've obviously spoken very highly on all the shows. Awesome dude, phenomenal at his job. But I think in the same lines, a ton of credit to really Pat Lambert and the rest of the department. There has been some turnover, but like the guys that have been around Pat, you know, Jared Thompson, some of the guys coming up as well that you'll start to hear their names a little bit more. Like they've really, I mean, we all know, guys. It was a tough last couple months in the fall. Everybody knows that until like the last 2 or 3 weeks of November. But outside of that, like it's been what, 3-4 straight months of positive news. Mm-hmm. I think that's really good. And I also just want to say, Justin, totally get your point, but just don't want to kind of shy away from a guy like Daryl Peterson was in that mold as well, especially that last year, year and a half. And I know the young linebackers would give him and Reiger a bunch of credit, but you're exactly right. When you've got these young studs, big time recruiting wins, oh, they're already out there winning. They're nice, affable guys off the field, but they're ready to kill somebody on the field. Like, I do think that registers.
Yeah, and I think when I mean it by that is Peterson is definitely one of those guys that you look for as, like, a team leader. But when you have guys that are legitimately, like, all-conference/all-American type guys, it's just a different level. And that's going to be the same thing if this year if Colton Joseph takes off. Like, if he suddenly is a dude to start this season – the offense is going to just click. It will come together. If he's legitimately really good, guys will start getting focused and buying in and really going, like, coming together on that offensive side, because having that guy that you trust in, and that's the one thing whenever you talk about playoff teams, there's always that guy. And it's typically all the good playoff teams have a quarterback that they're like, yeah, they just gather around that guy. And that's the guy that kind of runs the show. And it's each side of the football needs that. I feel like the linebackers are doing it for us on defense. And I think there's a lot of good players here. And obviously last year's defense was really good, but I think we'd all agree it took off when those two young guys got out on the field and suddenly started playing and the defense just clicked.
Back to your note about Pat Lambert. Pat Lambert doesn't get enough credit. He doesn't get enough, his department doesn't get enough credit.
Yep.
They do a fantastic job. Question for you, Nick. Justin says, can Nick talk about this Arizona pipeline we seem to have now? Is that a coincidence?
Who's the
guy?
A
lot of good guys coming out of Arizona, Nick. What are your thoughts on the pipeline that's being created?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. Another Justin here. You know, I would say I can't speak as much to the overall state just because it was a really good talent-rich state for a while. Now I think it's back on the come up. But in terms of Desert Edge High School, which are some of the bigger names you're talking about right now, John Kamara was from there. Obviously, Nate Jones, we all felt good about. But Yazzie and Zion, look, I think that – and I will plug a story a little bit here because Coach talks about it when I flat out asked him what Wisconsin is doing so well. I think that, you know, we talk about being more competitive, obviously, in some of those financial spaces. But I think that the boon and growth of young talent has been really kind of palpable, and people have noticed that. And I also think Max did a great job of this when he was here, but like Pat, this is something Fickell has done really well with recruits, is there is a clear-cut plan and vision in place. Again, I always say we need to see it at this point, and everybody knows that, like, on the field. But Justin, I do think that's a part of it, because I flat out asked, hey, now you've got three guys just from this high school, a top three high school in Arizona football, maybe number one, all coming to the Badgers, all will be together, all on the defensive side of the ball, by the way, too, which I don't think is coincidence. Why is this? What are they doing so well here? And I think it's evals, which I've said since my first year here, that is not something Wisconsin struggles at. They're very good with talent evaluation. And then obviously just kind of pitching, okay, we have Posa and Catalano, but John Kamara, you're going to be used in this way. Nate Jones, we have Keaton Wallen in this class right now. Here's what you can add to the LB room and things of that nature. Yazzie and Zion, look, we haven't had somebody like you here in 12 years. You know what I'm saying? So I think we're all on the same page, but that's a great question, fellas.
Do you know who's in charge of Arizona? Any idea?
Well, a lot of coaches go out there. Yeah, I didn't know
position.
Who's the guy. I didn't know if you meant the Desert Edge head coach. But, yeah, I've heard of Grimes, Tressel, you know, Borland, all kind of getting out there different times throughout the eval period. Obviously, Mitch and Whitlow crushed it with Zion. So, yeah, good question.
The next guy that we're going to quickly touch on here, I'll go through the particulars once again. It is Darren Graham, who was last weekend's visitor, 6'5", 218-pound edge out of Chicago, Illinois. I'm going to share his film since we have not we did not pull this up in prior weeks. So I'm going to do that. And sorry, so I'm not in my normal setup here, so it's going to take me a minute. Justin, Darren Graham, tell me what you like about this kid.
Yeah, I comped him before we came on. I said that I've heard – and Nick, I saw your Nick Clayton on him. I actually think he reminds me of more like a Tyrese Fearbry. I think that the length and size, he doesn't quite have the burst to me of a guy like Clayton, but I do think that he's fast for a guy that's his size. The thing for him, for me, the biggest thing for me with him is he's a guy that may take a year or two to get there, because I think from a strength standpoint, he's really got to add some muscle and some technique things. He has a tendency to turn the corner, and if a tackle gets their hands on him, he's not always great at disengaging that. And that's going to be something. He's got a good motor, but it's something he's got to get stronger. He's got to learn kind of those counters to kind of get a guy's hands off him when they get on him. But really good athlete for the size and length. And I think that there's a ton of upside there for him to turn a really nice piece as either an edge or even a jumbo edge. If he fills out that way, where you have some real flexibility with him to turn into a really good piece on the defensive front seven.
I like that.
The first thing is his frame, right? He's 6'5". Sorry. He's 6'5", right? He's a 6'5" guy, which means he can really fill out to do different things. And what I'm going to say is going to sound like I'm knocking him, but I'm not. It's really nice to get depth pieces in this room. We need to fill this room. We need to have a lot of guys in the edge room, because when you have guys that can pass rush, it can help really fill out a roster. And it can quickly become a hole in your roster if you do not have guys stacked up. I'm not trying to say he can't be a player, because I think he is absolutely going to be good. Chicago's obviously a good market. He plays against really good opposition. But I guess my big thing is, like, I want to highlight the fact that it's not a bad thing when we're, like, the fact that we're filling up this room with a lot of good guys, and some of them we might not see, perhaps. I think that's a really good thing, because it's a big school mentality. It's a we're in the haves group mentality, right? We're a school that can go out there and get a Darren Graham and say, you know what? Yeah, it's becoming a crowded room a little bit, in the sense that we're stacking guys, but that's a good thing. It's not meant to be a knock on Darren Graham, because I think he's a good player, but it really is nice that we're able to get edges now. We're able to get we're focusing heavily on versatile D linemen. Nick, you were going to say something.
Yeah, just I thought that was a really nice eval by my man Justin, something we've always talked about. And look, he was a piece that, you know, I felt like, so obviously we know about Zion now, but even prior, when, you know, there were opportunities for talking about Graham, Vanden Steele, potentially Finn Walker down the line, you know, these other options with Isaac Miller already in, he was one that I personally thought always an auto take. Like, he might be a developmental piece. Those are actually still good for mm-hmm. programs like you mentioned, Rajiv, but I still think he could eventually be like a multi-year contributor.
Oh,
amazing,
for sure.
Program to be a part of. And I mean, I just like seeing, obviously, you know, Matt Mitchell closing on another Chicago D-end edge, just like he did with our collective guy Jalen Williams a couple cycles back.
To me, the reason I say developmental piece to a degree is, I think there is some consideration there that if you get Zion in for, like, if he was in for the winter, that there are certain situations that you may like him for, simply for his burst in some of the things that he does, to put him out there like on a third and long and say, go get it. I don't know that the strength is there for a guy like Graham to be doing that as a freshman. And I think that's where they differ a little bit. But I think it's also one of those things where it's like, well, yeah, Graham may take, he might not be ready till he's a redshirt sophomore, but that's fine. That gives him 3 years to potentially be a guy who's a really productive piece. It's just, he might take a little bit longer for it all to come together.
Yeah. By the way, over 600 of you watching us live, thank you so much for the support of the show. If you're watching on YouTube, smash that like button. If you're on the Twitter page, we're live on Twitter. Of course, we're live on YouTube. Follow the show, follow my page. Thank you so much for all of you joining the show. Steele Harris, guys. Steele Harris, another one. Listen, by the way, when I texted these guys this morning, I'm like, all right, I'm, you know, setting things up for the show. You know, Zion was in, and all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, another one. I didn't get a chance to change thumbnail because I'm traveling, but it doesn't matter. And we're going to talk about him anyway. Steele Harris, wide receiver, number one player in the state of Montana. Nick, Ari Confessor has a nice start to his time as wide receivers coach. He's a great guy, and I think he's a very affable guy that I feel like is really going to identify with some of these wide receivers. But again, versatility, speed, length, all the attributes, one more step in the right direction. Again, this is a position, Nick, that we've, over the years, hasn't been Wisconsin's strongest. And here's a player that all three of us identified as, yeah, this guy's a player, and we would love to see him there. Steele Harris is coming to Wisconsin. How did his recruiting go? And give me a note about Ari Confessor and kind of how he's been doing so far.
Yeah, no, Reggie, this is one that, you know, it's funny, and I'm not blaming fans or anything. Obviously, when they're talking about numbers coming into the OBs, right? But they were asking about new coaches, Steeples, Confessor. They needed to land some, and I was just saying, guys, be patient. They're in good spots with several guys. Obviously, talked about what Steeples did last weekend, and I love what you said about, you know, Coach Confessor, Reggie, very high energy, yet I think he cares most about, like, being a technician, the technical side, really teaching those details at wideout. I think Jordan Reed was similar in that. So I think that's all really good in Madison.
I've liked both of them.
I think with Steele Harris, somebody that, you know, I'm not saying the rating's crazy off base, but I could see a bit of a jump as well, because to me, and I think you guys would agree, feel like he's somebody we've all texted about a bunch. I think he's somebody that could be playing within his first 2 years in Madison. I think that he'll come in as with some of the best hands. I think he's very strong. He's obviously a good athlete. And it'll just be about kind of, like I said, developing as a technician. You'll see probably a portal guy here and there still as we kind of look for that next star wideout in Madison potentially. Maybe Hilton breaks out into it this year, but just truly one of the guys I have kind of had my eyes on since January, February. I took a bit of a riskier crystal ball, you know, recently. Like, typically I either do it way early, like a Cole Ryder, Catalano, or just, hey, this is obviously happening. He told me he was down to the Badgers and Cal, and I just kind of trusted Wisconsin to get it done. So really good news. I think it didn't come out of nowhere, but I think things shifted a little bit over the last day, because I think it was a little bit closer to maybe 60-40, 70-30. Obviously makes the decision. And now, you know, we'll see. Obviously stick around with Badger 247 Nuggets and things with the White House. But, like, if this is the class, or if this is the class until October, November, for maybe more late evals, I think you're pretty happy with that. Basically 2-4 stars.
Sure.
For sure. Go ahead, Justin.
I want to throw it there, because obviously Chuck Alexander was here this weekend too. Thoughts on that? Do you think that is there still some potential there, or is he somebody that the staff has kind of moved on from?
Yeah, still potential. Okay. Sincerely, still potential there.
Not asking for any insight, but just wasn't sure if they decided that they were going to shut it down for now.
No, not something at least that I had heard. And it is, you know, checking in here and there. But no, I think the visit went pretty well. I do think he liked his time here, but obviously, you know, sometimes with flip candidates, similar to what I reported on Fan and Steel, like, you want to take some time with family, or, you know, you'll see if you want to check out the other school, like Brody will do, that type of thing. But just comfortably, I will say Harris has been the guy at wideout that they wanted, and obviously in a really nice spot there.
He was their number one, I'm pretty sure, because we've been hearing about him for months.
Since the winter.
Jones was honestly somebody that was kind of came out of nowhere. Like, he was brought up a while back, and I think then suddenly, just all of a sudden, mm-hmm. that visit popped up, and it was like, okay, that works. I really like him. I've seen people in the chat saying he reminds them of Cephas. I think he's got more speed, deep speed, than what Cephas had. I mean, Cephas was a 4.6, mid-4.6 guy by the time he left. I think he's a 4.5 guy. He's not a burner, but I think he's fast enough. Like, if he's going to be big, he's going to be strong. And if he gets past you, you're going to struggle to deal with him, because you're not going to be able to body him up with a normal size corner.
Yeah, man, this has been such a good week. It really has. Now, we're not done yet. Obviously, Fan and Steel is still out there, as you talked about. Elijah Shaw is still out there. He was another OV guy. And we have a couple more visitors. I think ultimately it's been a really successful 2 weeks of OB, which is amazing. And we're not done.
Without a doubt.
I mean, it's so good. Like, I mean, you talk about this list and all the players we got last week and all the players we got this week. And you talk about, like, both weeks, like, oh, who's our top guy? Who's the guy that we want the most? Well, they hit. Mekhi Williams and Zion alone, just those two guys alone, would have made me one of the happiest guys. And the fact that we got more, it's absolutely fantastic. You put up a comment.
I was just going to say real quick, Justin, because I know, again, you love, like, your big D line. I mean, we all do. Both your guys, I just remember it was like late April we were texting about a couple of these guys, Zion and Mekhi. And I just said, hey, be patient. There's a real shock. So just, you know, trust this group. It's obviously a big season coming up. But, man, I like their chances to land talent probably as much as just about anybody these days. Should be some more good news in the near future, I'll say. And then, shoot, that'll be darn close to the whole class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious that this staff, if they can get somebody on campus and get first shot at them, they've proven that they can close. And I'll say, and Nick, I think you'd probably agree with me on this. Just because we don't get somebody doesn't mean necessarily that they didn't have an opportunity to close them if they wanted to. They don't always come in with the visit group saying, we want to lock these guys down now, because sometimes they're wavering on which guy they like the most. And so it can be a matter of them getting to see these kids for 3 days and, you know, like, pick up the vibes that they're getting from them when they get to actually be around them.
Or, you know, obviously a guy at similar position maybe jumps first, and then it's just more of a time type of thing. But yeah, it's very good stuff.
Who's this guy? Yeah, I was going to say, who's that guy in the chat there?
If it's Pat Lambert, we already gave you some props, Pat, so hopefully you go back and rewind and hear us talk good stuff about you.
Good work. You got plenty to listen to.
Pat, I mean, again, Pat, and listen, whether it's him or not, Pat Lambert has done, in this recruiting department has done incredible. I want everyone who's a Badger fan to just think back, okay? I want you all to just put your memory caps on and think back to the last couple years of Paul Chryst. And I want you to think about the status of that recruiting department and kind of where we were and where we were heading and what was going on. Like, we are in a whole different place, an entirely different place. And I know the results on the field haven't been great. And we know that, and we've talked about it a lot. But, man, does this recruiting department deserve a ton of credit. All right, let's do some fun class superlatives before we get into the other recruit. The other recruit in basketball, that's Jaylen Brown. We're going to talk about him, too. Has hell yeah, great guard. Let's do some fun. So, again, the 2027 class is not complete yet. We've got 20 guys in so far. Is it 20? Am I right about that? Did I have that number correct?
I think so. Yeah, 20.
Yep.
I think so. Okay, 2027.
We're ranked ahead of Minnesota, who's got 6 more players.
Man.
Bro, ranked
obviously
ahead of
we're.
we're yeah, ranked Oregon, ahead of a lot of people. Oregon's a different animal, though. They're not Minnesota.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to go. I'll come to each one of you guys to start this. So we're going to start with biggest surprise. Biggest surprise in the class so far. Now, it doesn't have to be a specific player. It can be kind of anything. What's been your biggest surprise? Justin, I'll start with you on this one.
I'm going to double up on this. And it's not going to be one player, one's going to be a don't situation. So it's not going to be multiple players.
Okay.
It's clearly Zion is the guy who I look at and I say that this – I felt like we had a good opportunity. I wasn't sure that he would shut it down this early. And this is where the staff deserves a ton of credit to get a guy like this locked down on his first visit, who I don't think legitimately was looking to lock it down this weekend. So that tells you all you need to know about the job that they did, being able to get him in. And the second thing I'll say on this is I think what I will say is I thought they'd do a really good job with these visits. I feel like a lot of things came together. I mean, it was great weather and everything for them to have, like, setting them up well to sell themselves as good as possible. But I think that they've closed at an incredible rate for the guys that they've brought in. And it's just like the surprise. I expected them to do well. I did not expect it to come down to the point where it almost feels like they could have locked down virtually anyone they wanted to in these first two weekends.
Heck yeah. Nick, your biggest surprise.
Yeah, so to me, I mean, I can't say, you know, a guy like Zion or Makai Williams or anything because I picked those to happen. I think the one that I like, how Justin said earlier, was a little bit maybe quieter. We didn't maybe expect it or that quick, I will say, was Jai Jones. That'd be it for me because, thank you, Rajiv, my guy. Because I think it was interesting because it was somewhat of a little bit of a quieter recruitment outside of kind of the Out West, but like Confessor and, you know, the staff was just quietly plugging away. Obviously, I think there was a really good pitch that weekend and landed him. So that was kind of the first one that came to mind.
Yeah, same. Biggest surprise is Jai Jones. Like, we talked a lot about, you know, Shannon Harris, Steele Harris, and other receivers. And the fact that we got Jai Jones and it's a really nice, pleasant surprise too, because it's just one more four-star in this mix right now. Okay, Nick, we'll lead off with you on this one. First on the field, so the player in this class that will see the field first.
Dude, so good. This is the toughest for me, Rajiv. I don't think either of these are too hot of a take, but I'm going to go with, you know, what Justin said, maybe two here. Both on offense, both fairly highly rated. One, we haven't even seen the best of him yet in high school, so I'm hoping he stays healthy this fall. I'm going to go with Mr. Kors Lokan, one of the lead recruiters of his class. It just feels like with his athleticism, his size, obviously he'll become, you know, even more technically sound with time. And just the fact that, hey, this offense is rocking with multiple tight ends at times. I like his chances, or like I mentioned earlier, Steele Harris, because that to me is a guy that if he gets here early, and I think he just told me today he will be early, gets, you know, kind of in that weight room, continues to develop. I won't be surprised if he's in the top 5 or 6 right away.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and agree with Zach Bartz. To me, if Makai, is he an early enrollee?
I think so. I have to double check on that.
He's going to need that, and he's going to have a very productive winter. But when you have that type of skill set, like anything is possible. And if it comes together for him, like we've talked about, he's got Xavier Lucas type ability. Like I don't know if he's got that top end speed yet, but he's also very young. He's a guy that clearly with the physical development could make a leap here in the next 6 months. Like, if he just continues to physically mature, he's got, I think if you can get 15 pounds on him over the course of his time here before the fall, I think you'd feel like, all right, we might have something to work with here going into the season.
15 to 20.
Yeah, he's got to put on a decent amount of weight.
Is it crazy to say, Rajiv, that Williams may have a higher ceiling than Xavier Lucas? I don't think so.
Ooh, that's a really good topic of discussion. Look, I will say this.
He's a ball.
I'm going to have a hard time saying that it's going to be that much higher. I would put it right on par. To me, it's very on par with Lucas as far as the importance of the get. Xavier Lucas has an insanely high ceiling. I'm going to say I'm not going to put him above that, but I will say the answer to this question is, to me, very clear. It is Mekhi Williams because of that same Xavier Lucas mold. He plays in that mold. He's got the size. He's got the skill, the athleticism. He can absolutely see the field as a freshman at cornerback. I completely agree with that. And honestly, I do like your shout, by the way, for Loken, Nick. I think that's a good one. The other one I would say is, like, I know this position, you don't think of it because there's a lot of guys stacked up, but don't count out Kingston Allen to be an instant impact guy either as a freshman.
I've got him for another one.
I think Kingston Allen is an absolute stud. And so, yeah, I think it's going to be good. But yeah, Mekhi Williams for me, first on the field here, and also on par as far as I'm concerned with Xavier Lucas. And boy, those guys, I mean, listen, and if he is that, what a win, by the way.
What I will say on that is I actually think he's got better hips than Lucas had when he was here. I think he really flips his hips well for a big guy. But we don't know what his speed is. Like, legitimately, he's already in pretty good shape for what he's been doing in Florida as a younger guy. When he physically matures and they get him to, like, put on the real weights, like, heading into college here, he could be a 10-5 guy. We have no idea. Like, I don't know what to make him because he's 16 years old. Like, these are when we see the guys who are running an 11-1 because it's their sophomore year. And you're like, well, you can project this out. He's going to be a 10-8 guy or whatever. He's already ahead of that probably. And now he's going to be a guy that, like, they're like, he's 16 years old and he's already running.
Dude, I can't wait to see his senior tape. Sincerely. Yeah. Like, top three or four on this list for me, because honestly, it felt like the last year or so for him, kind of the highlights were just kind of chopped up in terms of, like, game here, maybe game here, but full season, it had been a little bit. Agree with the hips. And just real quick, Rajiv, I would also say, and I'm not meaning to slight Lucas and his high school tape, but, like, Williams has the hips. I think he's cerebral. He's very young and he still shows that ball hawking ability. So very, very high on him.
Yeah. Okay, I'll go first on this one. Most underrated. For me, this is my guy, Keaton. This is Keaton Wallen. I think Keaton Wallen is not getting talked about enough, and that's okay because he doesn't have the flashiest film, but to me, that dude looks like a baller. He's a football player. He's one of those guys that will just very unassumingly, like, and I'm not saying underrated just strictly on, like, rating. That's Nathan Jones. But either, well, there's a lot of people. But I just think that, like, Wolin isn't going to be talked about. There's a lot of other guys in this class that look, that have that more of, like, those sexy names, those sexy ratings, that sexy film. But this guy, by the time he's a senior, we could be talking about him as one of the best linebackers on the team. I just don't sell Wolin short. I think he's a player. And then, to me, he's underrated. Justin, who are you going with here?
Yeah, I don't think it's sounding true. You said his name. It's Nathan Jones to me. And the part of the reason why I'm annoyed by it is it's not new that this is a guy that has, like, is a stud. Last year, his numbers that he put up were 90 tackles, 25 tackles for loss, and 12 sacks. I don't care if you're doing that in Pop Warner. Like, that's impressive, amount of production. So, and Nick, I know you agree with me on this. We both agree that from a rating standpoint, it's clear he needs a significant bump because of for me, a guy who's
real quick, I'm interrupting Justin on this point though. You'll like it. I have been in contact with our team. I have gained some respect in Cache. No, sincerely, I swear. Cause, like, I respect those dudes. Like, you can't get, you know, mad at folks cause they keep track of so many people, right? Yeah. You say, hey, maybe check on this guy's film, and very receptive to it. So I can promise to amazing listeners, viewers here on our site, that will be looked at again, and it ain't going lower.
Yeah. Listen, if they ever want to reach out, I'm more than willing to give my view on it too. But no, like, I think to me, and I get where like an 83 comes into play. That to me as a kid who is not physically like hasn't put on the weight or the strength yet, but it may show some some athleticism. Like Jones is he's not a Leo Chanel type guy because Chanel was like such a freak of nature, but there's some similarities in terms of like he's a physically developed guy. Like he's easily like I think he's already 225 and it shows. Yeah, like he is a strong dude already. And it, like his film, he's very, very physical and very, you know, willing to take people on violently. And that's something that I look at and I'm like, all right, yeah. Like that to me, we know it's going to be probably a decent bump. And I think that it's well deserved for him. Like he's proven like what we've seen from him on the footage that we've seen is that a guy that has a really nice ceiling.
Yeah, I'll
jump. Go ahead.
Just yeah, with my pick for this one, guys. I won't go super long, but I'll be honest, guys. I didn't take this as necessarily most underrated in terms of like a 247 rating on three, anything like that.
Correct. To That's me, how I thought of it.
Yes. Yeah. Good. It was more just, hey, there's been so much good news. Don't forget about this guy.
Yeah.
And from what I've heard, checking around, you know, the program and shoot nationally, like somebody that I think is going to end up as, you know, my classic sneaky contender to play with it first couple years is DJ Davis. I think people have already forgotten really nice about athlete. Him a little bit. Nice athlete, good film. I heard legit top 4 or 5 SEC programs were checking in there late. Hell of a job to get him in. Two-way player, one of my favorites.
In some ways, he's got some similarities to Mekhi Williams where you look at him and you're like, there's some projection here. This is a kid that's got to put on a fair amount of weight. But you're like, there may be some unlocked physical here that when this guy gets stronger, how much faster does he get? How much more explosive does he get when you actually get him into the gym and start working on some of those things with a guy? And I think both of them are guys who could absolutely turn into just freaks of nature on the back half. It wasn't me just trying to say it from that standpoint. I think the people in the know Jones, but I think there's a lot of people that would look at it and just dismiss him. Like out of kind, just based off the rating, and be like, "Oh, it's fine." It's like, well, no. If you actually watch this dude could play. Same thing with Keaton. Like he's yep, another guy yep. You watch the film, same and you're like, Keaton. "Wow, this kid's really instinctual. He plays with his face in the fan." Like
I think us three were ready for that offer for a while for Wallen. I think us three, had, you know, talked about him, so it was good.
I knew that when I put most underrated that Justin was gonna use that moment to attack the rating of Nathan Jones on 247 because he hates it. Which listen, Justin's a really good evaluator of talent, so I'm not gonna fight him on it. Okay.
He is because we rarely disagree.
That's right. Except I'm the one that's most right about the guys hitting. Anyway, never mind.
I like the same guys you
did. I know.
Most of the guys.
Over 850 of you watching us live. Thank you so much. If you are watching us live on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button if you're not already subscribed. And if you're on Twitter, you can follow us on YouTube. You can follow the show on Twitter, anything you want to do. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Last one up for the Superlatives before we get into the big basketball recruit. Sunday special, the most likely to play in the NFL. We're going to start with Nick on this one. Nick, who's your Sunday special? Who's the most likely to play in the league?
So it's not necessarily the highest ceiling, but just like, hey, if this guy stays healthy, if he can just put some good production.
Yep.
Man, I went with RBU, Kingston Allen. I think that, you know, if he just continues to ascend under the development of Jaden Everett, this staff, I actually think he is maybe the safest pick or best shot to get there. And I probably was struggling between 4 or 5 guys.
I think that's really fair because it really depends on the context with which you look at this. Are we talking about the guy who probably has the highest ceiling? So it's most likely if he gets close to it, he's a lock to get in, or is it a guy that you think has the least amount of work to do to actually put himself in
position? That's how I took it.
And if we're going to talk about it in that case, it's probably Ryder to me. I think that he's got an opportunity that, like, I think worst case scenario for him, he's a 2-deep guy. And he's going to be on the field here some. Best case scenario, he turns into a top 3-round offensive lineman. Like, it's going to be – he's going to be probably a really good player on the offensive line. And there's less fear that he's going to wash out than most, unless there's injury, you know, an injury down the road.
This one was easy for me. And it's just, to me, the guy that I feel like is going to just continue to be growing and can be the player. And it's Zion. I feel like when I watch Zion's film, I'm like, I just feel like this dude is an absolute monster. And if you told me that, if you just showed me that guy's film, and you said, this guy is likely going to be a five-star, I'd say, yeah, I think I might get on board with him being able to get to that point. I feel like 3 years from now, 4 years from now, we're going to be talking about how incredible Yazin Zion is. And we're hoping that we can keep him year after year because he's going to be that good. I think he's going to be is a starting defensive lineman in the NFL. I think his ceiling is so high. Of everybody in this class, this is my number one guy. I'm so impressed with everything that I've seen from him. And because learning how raw he is, like he's only going one direction. And maybe that's just me picking my guy and that's fine. But man, like Yazin Zion looks like an absolute monster, man.
There's a reason I said that I felt like if he hits his potential, it's a first or second round pick. I think that the physical tools are there for him to find that if his body rolls out the right way. I think that's really the one thing you kind of look at him and be like, how does he mature? Does he have trouble putting on weight? Is he able to get to where you want him to be? Like, I think if he wants to have a really high-end NFL career, he's probably a guy that needs to get to 290. That has the opportunity to play either a 4-3 defensive end or be a guy who's a 3-4 kind of hybrid edge / five tech kind of guy. It really is going to be interesting to see what they do with him, or how he matures. But I think the physical tools are there for him to be like, he could be an incredible college player. I do continue to say that I think he's the guy that I look at and say, I feel like he's the guy I look at and say he has the chance to be the most dominant out of this group. Like
for absolute highest ceiling to me, I think you'd be really thinking a little bit deeply if you didn't say Yazin, Mekhi, or Ryder. Like in terms of absolute highest ceiling. But I was just looking at, I think it was, just like most likely to get there. I mean, I think we have him. I think Kingston is like top 6 or 7 running back in the country. And obviously way, way more RBs usually get picked, even nowadays, than that. So to me, it's like, man, you take it seriously, which he absolutely does. Very hard worker, smart kid, continue to develop. Be patient if you're not playing right away. And, I think he gets picked after 3-4 years in Madison.
Yeah. Speaking of being able to play in the pros, let's switch gears and quickly talk about basketball and one of Gray Guard's biggest recruits that he's really landed. This is in the class of 2027, Jaylen Brown, a 6'4", 180-pound four-star combo guard out of Wauwatosa West in Milwaukee. There's been so much going on about Jaylen Brown. The story almost got kind of overshadowed in the Badger world just because of OV weekends and everything. But what an amazing get for Greg Gard. Nick, I'm going to start with you on this one. I know this is the guy that you like as well. We talk often about Greg Gard's inability to get big guys from high school. He gets good transfer guards and he gets good transfer guys. But to get someone like that, we've seen a lot of top guys in the state of Wisconsin leave. This guy, Jaylen Brown, he's staying in Wisconsin. Greg Gard gets a big win for Greg Gard.
Reggie, this is massive. And I will just say a little anecdote because hopefully people continue to listen and read, but for those that maybe didn't read it. So I was around guys at June Jam last summer, and obviously Greg Gard and Sharif Chambliss were watching this team. And they seemed to be really impressed with everything they saw. He comes to camp a few days later, right? He gets offered by Wisconsin. And I know Justin would even remember, even though he's more football, because we were texting about this early guys in the fall. He always felt like they was the best chance to be a Badger, to be that in-state hometown hero. I know that he and his family, incredible people, took a lot of pride in that. And in terms of what he is as a player, Rajiv, I've seen him play, I think, 16 times live, because obviously since his freshman year as well. Look, I think he's going to get opportunities at point and at combo guard. I think anybody outside of the staff that is saying great timing on the question, ZB, that is saying for certain right now, I don't think it's fair because I think there's, a lot of areas with his game that he's demonstrated and shown that'll fit at the one. I think there are some in terms of like size and natural scoring ability that fit with the two. I think, as we know, in this offense, there's a ton of positional versatility. What I can tell you is this kid freaking loves the game. Great kid, very mature. Where I have seen him jump the most in the last 16 months is probably creating off the dribble and his step back jumper. Now, when you're, he's not undersized, but he's also not 6'7", 6'6", guard. So when you're at that 6'3", 6'4", kind of hybrid spot and you can lose somebody off the dribble and hit that step back triple, very good. You guys will see a ton of coverage. So we'll do a live show or something when I'm out in St. Louis watching him. Going to have a lot more this summer. But phenomenal, phenomenal ad. I think even the largest of critics out there, which I'm certainly not, but would have to give a ton of credit here. Had some really nice offers, guys, in the Big Ten that we're pushing. And I'll just give a little teaser, too, that I don't think they're done with good news this summer either.
You know, I think
I know who you're talking about. I'm not going to say names, but I know who you're talking about.
The thing that I like the most about him is when you watch him on film, he has a calmness about him, right? He looks like the game is very easy for him. He's very easy. Mobility is good. He can quickly get in the lane, get out of the lane. Like nothing is difficult, right? So when he's come up the court and he's trying to make a move out to the outside and score, he just looks like he's doing it with ease. He flows very well. A lot of fluidity in his movement. The Badger that he reminded me of was Kobe King. And this is the comp that I made. Justin and Ryan and I had a conversation about that. I think Kobe King, because he's a very, very good scorer, he can create his own shot, obviously. He's an inside game. He's got an outside game. But he plays with such a professionalism, which is something that I saw in Kobe King when he was in high school. Of course, then he sadly had to leave us to go elsewhere. But I really, really like this pickup because I think it just raises our floor more than anything else. Like, yes, the ceiling is there, but this guy to me is a floor raiser, and that's not meant to be a bad thing. That's like, this is the kind of guy that I feel like really elevates our guard play in a time when we are changing our offense to be more very, you know, front foot focused and forward and shooting a lot. I really, really think that this guy has the mentality, the mental side of the game, the physical side of the game, the calmness, the professionalism that he plays with. And he's a player that I think we're going to like for a lot of years. I'm a big, big fan of Jaylen Brown. Justin, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I was going to ask Nick about this is obviously we only get so much from highlights. How's he as a ball handler?
Yeah. Good. So I would say, you know, still obviously, here's what I would say. If it was a few years ago in the offense and he was set to be the pure point guard, like anybody outside of Steve Nash, you know, in the NBA can always grow with that. But I saw growth with his ball handling, specifically, Justin, in terms of the half court creation and weaving through traffic. I mean, there were a couple games, just there was this one against Khalil Jones in Germantown where it was just this guard battle, like a true NBA guard. One would hit a step back jumper, then Jaylen, okay, two defenders coming, he'd literally drop a pass like this, you know, to a Cutter and MJ Klosky. So I'm very high on him. I have not hidden that. I said for 6 months the Badgers were going to get him, and I just, Rajiv, I think that was really well said. It's something he's calm, mature. He doesn't often get flustered. He gives a lot of effort and care on the defensive end too, like decent wingspan. Hats off, because truly I think that he could be kind of the first one to potentially start a, I won't say domino effect, but like positive change like that with some of these elite guys. We're not going to see a bunch of classes like 2027 every year, of course, but very glad that, you know, obviously he was able to be locked in. And like I said, they're pushing for some other high profile guys as well.
Yeah. This is one of those areas where for me, Greg Gard needed to, like, I kind of felt like he needed to prove it a little bit. I wanted to see him kind of lock down somebody like this from in-state, because I've seen people say that in-state doesn't matter as much when it comes to basketball. And I just think that to a degree, that's nonsense. I think that basketball is a little bit more complicated than football in terms of recruiting in that regard, but I don't think it means nothing. So I think when you see some of this stuff, like kids like this that want to come play for the state school, that is still something you can sell, but you've got to provide, like, you've got to be competitive. And this to me was one of those things where you needed to start getting some of these guys. Because as I've talked with you guys a little bit, I don't think that guard can go into the portal and expect to build a team that's going to make a super deep tourney run, because we're just not going to grab the top tier guys that like a Duke or whoever is going to grab when they jump in the portal. We're always going to have to evaluate really well, and they're typically not going to be like next level athletes. And I feel like this is where he can make up some of that, which is you can get a guy who maybe isn't a finished product in high school that you get a hold of and you can build some loyalty with the first couple of years. But the guys who are going to have the super high athletic ceilings, you're probably going to have to get through high school yet. And then you augment that with the guys you can get in the portal that are still really good players, but maybe aren't quite as, you know, the guys that are going to be jumping out of the gym and doing some of the stuff. And we've seen that. Like the guys we've gotten, Boyd's a really good athlete. He still had his warts. And even some of the other guys like Tanjay. Tanjay was not a guy who you'd necessarily call super dynamic athlete, but he was very skilled. And I kind of look at that. I'm like, you get guys like Brown, you get guys like Ann, and you're like, all right, we're upping the athleticism of this team by grabbing guys like this that might be more complicated to get if we were trying to get somebody of similar caliber out of the portal.
Definitely. All in all, a fantastic week for the Wisconsin Badgers. Final thoughts, gentlemen. Nick, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. What's any final words before we close the show today, Nick?
Yeah, just fantastic week in recruiting. I think this is a fantastic show with my boys. I've always appreciated this tradition. Sincerely, guys. Comfortable saying, like I said, should be some more good news on the way in terms of football. So definitely follow along. Bunch of big time visitors in the 2028 class on the next weekend before things shut down as well. So appreciate you boys, as you truly know.
So I'm going to throw one more question out here for you quick, Nick. Oh, you know, putting you on the spot here, how many more do you think this next couple of weeks, and does anybody visit next week?
Yeah, I would say, and I'm not spoiling anything because nothing's really done. I would say, sitting at 20, round 22, 23, probably total, obviously, in the next couple of weeks, because I think it's smart to, if they have the season that we all think they're capable of, leave a couple of spots for late flips, because that's when you really flex your muscles out on the recruiting trail. And as we know, they are hitting on a bunch of positions that they, you know, needed. I mean, I'm not going to obviously say some of it, but like some of the just positions we've been talking about, you know, maybe another wide out, right? Maybe another safety, maybe an interior lineman. So we'll see. But regardless, the class is in great shape.
Justin, final thoughts.
Incredible first couple of weeks here with the visits. The class is in a great spot where now you really can be selective. And this is where it comes down to now you got to do the work to hold on to these guys. I think we feel really good about this group. I feel like there's a lot of upside where some of these guys have some chance to grow in their senior film and really, you know, this class could come together. I brought it up on Ryan's show earlier. I think there's an opportunity where they could start to push that 24 where you have 11 composite guys. I think there's a possibility that comes into play with this if some of these guys grow over the course of this year.
I think this was a great 2 weeks, as you both have said. And it feels like some pressure is off of the football team as far as recruiting and turning a corner. But I would argue that more pressure is on the football team now, as I said earlier, because now I know these guys aren't going to be playing this season, but you've got to show it on the field. And we're going to be turning our attention now as the weeks progress into the summer into previewing this football season. We've got a lot to cover. We're going to preview every aspect of this team from depth chart to over-unders to full stat lines. Of course, win-loss predictions. We're going to preview our opponents. We're going to start doing our Know Your Foe series. So if you're not subscribed, do hit that subscribe button. Thank you so much. Over almost 1,000 of you watching us live. Fantastic.
That's
stuff.
Amazing.
And dude, what happens is when Nick Osen's here, everybody wants to watch because everybody likes Nick Osen. I'm just kidding. But yeah, I'm also not kidding because it's true. But thank you so much for joining us. And yeah, it's gonna be a fun summer. We've got so much good content and we've got a lot of plans for you. So make sure you like the show, follow it, everything, so you can see what's going on. Big weekend, big week, good times to be a Badger. Thanks for joining us. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.